Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Reimagining Cyber. I'm Stan Wissman. I'm joined my co-host is with me. How's that?
Hold on. Are you ready? Take 33. Go.
Just the beginning. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Reimagining Cyber. I'm Stan Wissman, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Rob Arrigo. In today's episode, we're going to dive into the evolution of the payment card industry data security standard, more commonly known as PCI DSS, and specifically the launch of PCI DSS 4.0. So with the March 31st, 2024 deadline just around the corner, organizations are in that final stretch of transitioning from PCI DSS version 3.2.1 to the more robust PCI DSS 4.0. Are you ready for this, Rob? Are you ready to dive into payment security?
I've got all the credit cards laid out in front of me. I'm good to go.
Good. Let's kick off with a little context, a little history around the standard and why it was needed. So, you know, I am old enough to remember before the DSS existed, and it was created back in 2004. Consumers and merchants alike were plagued at that time by fragmented payment systems, and it was a constant headache for everybody and a source of risk, especially with one credit card company's policies violated another's or mandated different security controls, or simply they just weren't, you know, following guidelines as thoroughly as they should have been on the merchant side, especially, right? So when the Security Standards Council of PCI, the PCI SSC, fully formed and released compliance guidelines for the industry, merchants of all sizes literally had to, you know, redo everything they did, but at least they had a common baseline of protecting payment account data throughout the life cycle of the payment ecosystem. And that was good news, right? And so that original standard, 1.0, was released in 2004, as like I said, and has had several major overhauls since then. And the current version, again, is 3.2.1. So, you know, again, the standard has had a pivotal role in safeguarding payment data. And let's face it, Rob, I mean, we are, you know, more than ever relying on that system, that ecosystem, right? I mean, merchants and service providers and financial institutions, they all are using this more and more frequently. And that foundation is to protect against, you know, breaches and ensuring that, you know, consumers have confidence that their data is going to be protected during transactions. I do want to point out, though, that, you know, as we pointed out many times on this podcast, achieving PCI DSS compliance alone doesn't fully protect against breaches. I mean, organizations need to implement, you know, risk-based security measures that exceed baseline compliance standards like this one, right? So while the evolution of PCI continues and it raises the bar each time, in and of itself, compliance does not equate to security. But, you know, now that we're in, you know, looking at the implementation of this, the standard, I mean, again, in 2022 is when the 4.0 was published. And the whole idea is to keep pace with the advances of technology and the threat environment. It's now reaching a point where at the end of this month until next year, March 31st, 2025, you know, these specific new requirements in version 4 are going to shift from best practices to being required. And so, Rob, can you get into some of these key changes in the standard and highlight, you know, what impact that might have on folks?
Yeah, for sure. So I think think about that, right? It's 20 years now later.
Right.
That's been out there. And so, yeah, it's continued to evolve. I think, you know, some may say that we'd like it to have evolved faster than what it has, but, you know, there's some really good changes that have come with 4.0. So the first one, it's kind of an interesting thing. I guess the main theme I would just say to take away is a very key word to think about is continuous, right? So continuous assessment, continuously, you know, reviewing really what's in place, which is important because we've always talked about that when a QSA in this case comes in to do an assessment, if it's once a year or twice a year or quarterly, that's that point in time. So again, things that they've done, right? So first is there's this new customized approach that they've actually implemented in 4.0, which is great because it's really driving more so around what the outcomes are desired by the organization as it relates to the security objectives that they're trying to meet within PCI. And so, you know, that gives them some flexibility, you know, the end organization, some flexibility in being able to apply the security control mechanisms, still obviously in alignment with the Digital Dozen, otherwise known as PCI DSS. But the key is that they may, as an organization, have some security control mechanisms in place that may actually adhere to what PCI is calling out. So it gives them that flexibility to decide what technology sets they want to put in place, some different types of implementations they desire to put it in place with. But at the end of the day, that is that organization that decides to take that customized approach is still going to be obviously measured in alignment with what the QSA is coming in to validate the controls truly do meet. The documentation is in place. The risk analysis has been reviewed and has been approved. So that's one of the key areas is if you desire to take more of this customized approach, understand that you have some flexibility, but of course, at the end of the day, you still have to validate all the control mechanisms. Are there in place to meet the full stack of PCI DSS requirements? The other thing that they emphasized is stronger authentication methods, a little bit more aligned with what we're seeing from NIST. And so, you know, the need to now review access privileges at least twice a year, the desire to push stronger MFA capabilities into the organizations and make sure that they're truly using it. Again, that's a common theme we've seen in many different discussions we've had, Stan. Improve password hygiene, right? So better password complexity put in place, as well as the insurance of actually changing the passwords at least once a year. Probably more frequently, but that's all they're asking for at this point, once a year. Third parties and the type of relationship they have. Well, you need to ensure that you're obviously continuously monitoring what the third party concert are doing, right? And are they properly in place for what the need is, or has that kind of been expired? Let's get rid of those things. The other thing that actually is tied in here that kind of went underneath the radar a little bit is around data protection, right? So historically, PCI has looked at protecting data from a disk level encryption specifically. That's no longer allowed. You go to 4.0, you actually have to be doing encryption throughout the entire lifecycle of the data. So not just, again, at rest, but in use and in motion. So I think that's a big, big call out. The other couple of items are around phishing. Again, major attack vector. So ensuring that you have the right mechanisms in place to do detection and also protection against phishing. And then the last one I'll call out is, again, this movement from a manual process to continuous process. So moving from manual review of logs to actually automating them into a technology set that allows you to identify security incidents and quickly be able to react to them. So again, another area of much needed change that's been actually pulled forward as part of their requirements in 4.0.
Hey, Rob, you use an acronym that our listeners may not be familiar with unless they're in this process itself, but what does QSA mean?
Yes, Qualified Security Assessor.
I do think that role may be more difficult with that whole customized approach, but I do want to highlight another area of significant change in 4.0, and that's a greater emphasis on application security than that was had in the previous versions. And that's near and dear to my heart. As you know, I'm really focused a lot on application security, and that I'm glad to see these changes. Specifically, the standard requires more testing of public-facing applications related to payment processing, or other activities considered in scope, which is important terminology for PCI systems, right? But generally, any system that touches untokenized payment card data is in scope for PCI DSS compliance. And whether or not a system or function is public-facing, it doesn't really matter because, as you pointed out, it's end-to-end and trying to protect that data. So
right.
To prevent vulnerabilities and other errors from being deployed, you know, they really are emphasizing now that developers will have to continually test in-scope applications during the SDLC using both static and dynamic application security testing tools. So that's great. You know, it's implied in requirement 6.2.1 that, you know, mandates bespoke software, custom software and developed software have to be done securely and incorporate consideration of information security issues during each stage of the SDL or software development lifecycle. But it's very explicit in requirement 6 2.3, which clearly states that code reviews must be carried out on, again, this bespoke custom software prior to being released in production or to customers. So that calls it out pretty specifically. They want to ensure that the code is being reviewed. You know, likewise, another thing that's really been highlighted in this release is around APIs or application programming interfaces and the security of them. Again, emphasizing that you have to scan APIs for vulnerabilities, and they even recommend doing penetration testing. And the optimal testing framework that they cite is the OWASP top 10 list of applications. And you know, it cites it several times in the standard, and that's all well and good. I would point out that our listeners should not just look at OWASP top 10. That is a good starting point. It's not necessarily comprehensive of all critical application vulnerabilities that need to be aware of or need to address. And so taken together, you know, these requirements spell out that, you know, payment pages and web applications must be verified and thoroughly security tested. So that's really, I think, an important change. So as we're looking at this, we referred to the timeline a couple of times as far as the, you know, the what we're, you know, looking at in this next year. Can you go through sort of like the more general review of the timeline?
Yep. Yeah, let's dive a little bit deeper into that. So, you know, you shared at the beginning, it was in March now of 2022, when basically they came out with the 4.0 standard to say that this is what we're moving forward. So it was published at that point in time. I mean, you've had 2 years in essence to start really going through that and thinking about what you're going to have to put in place that are some gaps, if you will, versus 3.2.1. And so, you know, we've kind of outlined some of the differences already. When you think about where you're at today, so March 31st, as you said, Stan, of 2024, the expectation is, hey, listen, we're completely getting ready to cut you over to 4.0. You will have, though, a 1 year buffer in essence to April 1st of 2025 to when the penalties, think of it this way, penalties will start coming down on you because you're not in compliance. So what do you do over the course of the next year, right? You've very likely in this space already been going through, and as I said, identifying some of the areas that you need to make some modifications on, you know, make some adjustments to those things, some new investments potentially. But, you know, one of the things that you should really be taking into consideration is as you're going through this, in essence, roughly a year timeframe kind of buffer to work through, get through the practice, verify these elements are all in place, do your own self-assessing, but then also pull in your QSA, right? Pull in the QSA because they will come in and do these pre-assessments, right? They've historically done that. You mentioned, Stan, especially when we talk about if you've decided to take that customized option, you definitely want to be able to ensure that the QSA is well aware of what that is. They might have to do some additional research in there because they're going to have to vet this out to say, yes, it actually does meet still that particular requirement within PCI or these particular requirements that you are customizing, if you will, around. So I think the key is, you know, you understand your timeline is now, if you haven't already started, to get moving, verify, review what you have, understand what the differences are that you have to effectively make some adjustments for, but also do that in the timeline that allows you to actually have a QSA come in and do a pre-assessment to identify things that maybe aren't quite where they need to be, or that maybe your interpretation of kind of taking this customized path isn't quite there yet either. And there's some additional changes you need to make to get to that point when the true assessment comes through. Because again, the last thing you need is to be dinged and then penalized and paying the fees associated to that.
Darn right. And speaking of compliance, I mean, I think folks recognize, but if you don't, you know, the PCI DSS actually applies to a wide range of organizations, from small merchants all the way to large financial institutions. Anybody who handles cardholder information at any capacity is impacted by the standard, right? But one of the things that may not be clear to folks is that in this version, they've addressed a gap, which is around cloud computing. So the standard covers a wide range of cloud security topics, including, you know, cloud security architecture, cloud security operations, monitoring. You know, it requires organizations to implement, you know, security controls such as encryption, authentication, and access controls in that cloud context to ensure that, you know, if you're consuming cloud services, you're meeting the requirements to safeguard that information adequately, right? So that's something that I wanted to highlight, because sometimes you may think that's out of scope because you've offboarded it from your environment on-prem. Mm-hmm. You're leveraging cloud services. Also, so for processors, you know, of payment information. You know, again, if you haven't already done so and you're leveraging a payment processing organization, make sure you understand those shared responsibilities between them and you in this new standard. I mean, the real world consequences of noncompliance is, I think the poster child for that really is probably Equifax, right? When they had that incident, mm-hmm. I think the penalty was close to like $425 million. So that's a real wake up call of how bad it could be if you're proven to be noncompliant. So again, you know, meeting these kind of obligations or these kind of getting ready to meet them as we get to that April 1st, 2025 deadline is essential. And because you want to have continuous operations of your business and not have to worry about any kind of problems with your partners or trust you have with your consumers, right? And how you're handling their data.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's delve a little bit into also, you know, we talked about what the changes are, Stan. You touched upon some different areas as well. You talked about application security. So let's just talk about some maybe kind of technologies to consider as you go through the changes and some of the evolution here in 4.0. So the first I'll start with is around the data side of it, the data protection side of it. So again, you have to pivot now from the data at rest protection only to also being able to have visibility and complete protection no matter where the data is, again, in use, right, in motion, as well as at rest. So you need to think about what your data protection strategy is. And if you're not doing something that follows that life cycle holistically, you need to start pivoting in that direction. I would hope by now the audience that would be listening to this, that is, you know, that PCI is applicable to, has MFA in place, right? MFA is a core principle, kind of security hygiene foundational stuff. It's got to be in there. Yes. Multi-factor authentication. So multiple factors of authenticating into an environment and application, if you will. You discussed application security. So that's, again, a core area of call out. So what's your comprehensive application security program, right? What type of testing are you doing? Are you reviewing the different software components? Are you able to go through and identify vulnerabilities with the prompt remediation capability in place, right? They're calling this out. Are you actually educating your developers to secure code training? So not just educating them, but proving that you're doing that. And it has to be done at least once a year. That's actually called out in PCI 4.0. So again, great advancements, in my opinion, also on that side around application security, on how you properly protect data, on different authentication schemes that you have to take into consideration. So just really leveling up and catching up in some cases, but leveling up what you have to do in many cases for better protection of that card information.
Yeah, and another thing that they point out is really the around vulnerability management and the remediation. They don't give a specific timeline as to when you have to remediate a vulnerability, but the whole idea is you're actively monitoring. And I think the point is that they don't want to have a lingering backlog of, you know, any kind of level, much less, you know, certainly the highs or criticals, but even moderate or low vulnerabilities. They don't want to have a bunch of lingering vulnerabilities. So you have to have a process to remediate in a timely manner, which is great. So, I mean, in summary, Rob, I think 4.0 has been a journey. We're in the middle of that journey still, but we're getting closer to being real. I think it reflects another jump in trying to put in place controls to mitigate threats in today's landscape that have, and honestly, they're trying to future-proof it a bit. I mean, they're putting in place controls, I think, to anticipate some of the threats that we're seeing in the future too. It is going to be, I think, challenging for all sides, including those that are doing the role of QSA to be able to handle this new customization approach, right? I do think that the freedom of doing that is going to be appreciated, but at the same time, it's going to be more difficult to actually determine whether there's compliance. And so there's more interpretation and more of that kind of compromise or discussion going on between the parties. But I do think it is a mindset change as far as how we actually are trying to go and be more proactive as opposed to reactive and putting in place the security measures that we need to help ensure that we, again, continue to have confidence in our way in which we're transacting business, you know, more frequently. I don't know about you, but I don't carry cash in my wallet. You know, I'm dependent on being able to use this. And many times folks are now using their apps on their phone. Exactly. We just, as far as consumers, we're dependent on this process, and we know there are gaps, and we want to make sure that the controls are in place that we continue to have that confidence and have fewer gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I just want to add one more thing, Stan, to what you discussed, which is if you think about the timeline, I think, you know, the reality is that there's been this build up to where we are literally end of March for the QSAs to be trained, retrained, right, recertified, right, in preparation for this, with a lot of the caveats coming in as it relates to the customized approach. Now, the reality is behind the customized approach, what they're trying, what PCI Council is trying to drive out of that is lessons learned. Mm. Teach us, right? So it's a way to kind of, you know, decide to say, hey, we want you to be more innovative and share with us your approaches. We may come back and say, hey, no, that's not good enough, and you're not going to get the pass on that particular requirement. Right. Or we're going to say, hey, that's actually much better than what we've been thinking about, and we might want to take an element of that and apply it to, you know, some addendum or the next version of PCI. So I think it's a great, you know, way of kind of trying to balance that out a little bit. So we'll see where it goes, but looking forward to see how it evolves this course of a year or so from now, when people will start getting reality struck with April 1st, 2025, right around the corner.
April Fool's Day. And what a great grade to have a standard go into effect. You know, anyway, and until next time, Rob.
Until next time, Stan. Thank you.
Hello, producer Ben here, and Rob and Stan have looked at the issue of payment security before. For example, in episode 66, How Does Payment Security Work? But I teased that particular show a couple of weeks ago, so to avoid repetition, I thought I'd tell you about a forthcoming interview that we're working on. It's going to feature offensive security analyst Tim Fowler, and he'll be taking reimagining cyber into a realm that it's never gone before, the cosmos. That's because his expertise is cybersecurity in space.
One of the challenges that we have in space is the people that are working in space, they are some of the absolute brightest people on the face of the planet. They are intelligent. They think in ways that just will absolutely blow your mind. But they are hyper, hyper focused in their one area of expertise, their knowledge and experience. And that with that comes that hyper focus really does create tunnel vision, and where it opens, it leaves some gaps that vulnerabilities and stuff could exist and stuff.
The functional requirements, right? I am building a telescope and I am looking at the optics, and I'm not thinking about somebody trying to misuse or abuse my wonderful telescope.
I just need it to work the way it's supposed to. And that, like, the functional requirements for space are those are a challenge in of itself.
It's going to be available on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, unless, of course, you're listening to this sometime in the future, in which case it's episode 91 and you can listen to it straight away. Finally, please do feel free to share the show with other people with an interest in cyber resiliency, be they on Earth or indeed any other planet. Goodbye.